Are you tired of the same old pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 3,000 hours of the best pro wrestling events from over 100 of the biggest names in the industry from over 15 countries around the globe. Get your free trial today at Powerslam.tv.
Hello, friends. This is Spencer Love, your host of Over the Top Rope on the Wind Column Sports Network. Don't forget, you can head to windcolumnsports.ca for all of your previews, reviews, and breaking news from the world of wrestling, be it your major promotions or from the great province of Alberta, Canada.
Awesome!
This is your main man, RJ, from the Ringside Rant, heard only on the Visionaries Wrestling Network. So go over and subscribe across all your major platforms, iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, and Stitcher, to hear every great interview I have every Monday on the Visionaries Wrestling Network. Go over and follow the show's page on Twitter at @_ringsiderant. Follow the network's page at BizWrestleNet. And, as always, embrace the vision.
If you like podcasts, and you are listening to our Backbreaker Media, then you should listen to me, Chris Parrish.
And myself, Manoyan.
And the Sounds of Struggle. Because we are literally the most entertaining duo you'll ever come across in Western Canadian wrestling, baby.
We talk about things like wrestling.
And other sports we like.
Like wrestling.
But we won't talk about other sports that we don't like. Because it's not that kind of podcast.
Like wrestling.
I mean, we like hockey.
And wrestling.
And we like football.
And wrestling.
And we also like to drink beer.
While wrestling.
Well, not while wrestling, but while watching wrestling.
Yes.
Yeah. If you want to get into a conversation with Maniac and Chris Parrish, then you need to tune into the Sounds of Struggle live on Backbreaker Media.
Every Thursday.
It's when we hope to draw, but sometimes Mike Malawaney doesn't do his job right.
Or we're too drunk to forget.
Yeah, that happens too.
Yeah.
He can bleep out the swear word, because we weren't supposed to do that.
Oh,
but
I'll try not to swear. Ah, I can't do it.
Yeah. Let's face it, the two of us, we're real.
And spectacular.
And we're a little bit of all right.
Yeah.
We're also struggle-licious.
That we are.
That was kind of a cute, supposed to be a struggle-licious.
Oh, sorry, I'm drunk.
If you don't want to listen to us, then no! You're stupid because we're entertaining. And if you want to listen to us, then come listen to us on Backbreaker Media.
Yeah,
later,
reset.
Later, bitches!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Total Nonstop Anarchy. I am your host, Andre C., joined here every week as it will go on for hopefully forever, my good buddy, the Danimal Daniel Jobber. How you doing, brother?
I am wonderful. Danimal Daniel Jobber with you as always.
I'm glad to have you here, buddy. So, again, we're back to talk more NWA TNA Weekly pay-per-views. But first, how you been doing, buddy? I haven't talked in a little bit.
Oh, pretty good. Just kicking back, taking a little vacation, and just enjoying life, watching a little wrestling.
Ah, that always works, man. Any good stuff? Any catching up on stuff or what?
A little bit, yeah. I had a chance to watch a little bit of the Raws I had missed lately and stuff. I like to keep up on WWE and such like that as well.
Nice. Again, I don't watch those anymore. I just catch little highlights here and there.
It's all you need these days. It's not all that good.
I just watch highlights and I watch pay-per-views. Simple as that.
That's pretty much all there is these days. It's kind of sad.
Yeah, it really is. But we're going to go back to a time when we watched wrestling religiously, even if it wasn't TNA. We watched it. I watched it religiously, at least back in 2002.
You know, religiously is a good word. Someone asked me if I go to church once in a while. I said, no, I go to church religiously.
Yeah, I go to church every week watching New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Church of wrestling, man. That's the only church that matters nowadays, eh?
That's the church that matters in my books. But this week, ladies and gentlemen, we are taking a look at NWA TNA Weekly Pay-Per-View number 6. And the date on this one, geez, is July 24th, 2002 in Nashville, Tennessee from the Fairgrounds Coliseum. Now, I was very annoyed by this broadcast. The lighting for this one really sucked.
There's a lot of things I didn't really like about this one.
Obviously, the video quality isn't great because it's old. They're a lot older videos. So I don't give shit to the video quality. You know what I mean? Because I can't really argue with that. We're getting from a tape digitized and put online. I'm not going to get mad at that, but man, the lighting on this show was terrible.
Yeah, it looks like they're sparing expenses, sadly, eh?
Yeah, I hope. But like, I've seen stuff from after this that is much better video quality.
Yeah, I don't know why this pay per view just seemed like a one off for some reason. I don't know.
I don't know. It just didn't look good. Like half the shots they were take, the lights are shining right into the camera, and I'm just like, wow, this is annoying.
Yeah, I don't know. It was just a little off. Like, maybe we can put our finger on some of the more details as to why.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll have to figure it out in the future. But damn, this maybe it added into not the greatest show TNA's put on so far.
But you got to realize there's one problem this week. No puppet beating his midget in a trash can. That just ruined the whole week.
Yeah, there's no puppet. No Psychodorf. I'm really sad about that.
He needs to be beating his midget in a trash can. That's all there is to it.
He just needs to beat midget. Simple as that. All right, so the pay-per-view starts out, the music hits, but the video doesn't. Like, usually the music that goes with the opening video hits, and then it's just showing just somebody standing in the ring, and it zooms in. You notice it's Jeff Jarrett
hijacking another beginning of the show,
and the music's still playing. You can't hear the audio for that. And then two security guys get in, just smacks them both in the head with chairs.
Oh, he's vicious, man.
Oh, dude. Ugh, concussion protocols, baby. Did not exist back then. So Jarrett ends up getting on the mic, and he says he wants Ken Shamrock out there to give him his belt. Says it's his championship. And then he goes on and says, I want my championship. There's too many innocent people getting hurt.
You're hurting them.
I was like, you're the one hitting them with chairs, dude. Like, you just did. Shut the hell up. Oh, Jesus. And then they cut to the back, and security ends up like rushing into Shamrock's giant locker room. Looks like he has a whole giant room to himself. And like, they rush in, they're holding him up, but he just starts kicking the crap out of all the security guards. Like, just flipping them all. The last one, I think he like picks him up and just smashes him into a table.
Don't try to hold Shamrock back, man.
Well, this is the one that got in his face, was like getting jabbed him, and that's the one that Shamrock picked up and like spine busted into a table. it wouldn't be the last time we see this guy either.
Excellent army of security guards, all I can say, man.
No, not so much later on, but yeah, and then Bullet Bob Armstrong comes in, and this is where this really started to fall apart. You can't hear shit. All you can hear is Jeff Jarrett jabbering at Jeremy Borash out in the ring.
Yeah, it was awkward.
The audio setup was just messed up. Yeah. And all of a sudden, you see Bullet Bob Armstrong just step out of the way, and Shamrock goes out the door, and then he goes to the door, and then he has like his. I don't know if he hired him, but he has this big British dude named Ian Harrington.
Yeah, the Iron Brit, man. Damn, that guy was awesome.
So he says, watch the. He blocks the door with like a chair or something to like walk everybody in, I guess. But it's in there. And then he has the Brit stand there. I'm just like,
nobody blank wankers are getting in here, man.
I'm like, what? Yeah. Who gives a shit? Yeah. So they go
beat up security guards. Who gives a shit?
Yeah, yeah, and Bullet Bob, I guess. He wants to starve an old man to death, I guess. Oh crap!
Bullet Bob. I thought he was from Mario Brothers. Ah, but never mind.
Yeah. So they cut back to the ring, and out comes Bill Behrens, and he tells Jeff Jarrett he's going to be suspended for 60 days. And he says Jeff Jarrett can either leave properly like a man, or he can call it security and get dragged out. But the commentators are saying, there's no security left. They all got beat up by Ken Shamrock.
Gotta remind us that.
So Jeff Jarrett just somehow knows there's no security. Cracks Bill Behrens over the head.
Here's my choice. Whack!
Then just starts smacking with a chair on the ground until Shamrock runs out and then starts brawling with Jarrett. He ends up taking Jarrett to the ground. He's laying punches right to the forehead until Monty Brown comes
and Apollo,
out with,
and Apollo pulls him back.
And they grab and they pull him back. Jarrett kind of slowly gets up, grabs the steel chair, and then wallops Kevin Shamrock in the head, right in the face, just bang.
Yeah, how unfortunate that he's being held back at such a bad moment.
and then Jarrett's still holding the chair. He's getting ready to fight Monty and Apollo, but then out comes Brian Lawler and, as still known, K-Crush, is still known at this point. K-Crush, and they go up and they take and they kind of coax him out of the ring and they get him to the back.
I was gonna say later why they've had no connection with each other for these past weeks. Why all of a sudden or why are they working together? There's nothing to bind them together in any way, shape, and form. Jarrett's just an arsehole.
They bonded over beating up Scott Hall. Come on, man.
I guess that must be it.
Yeah, they bonded over beating up Scott Hall. Simple as that.
Everyone loves to beat up Scott Hall.
Chico. Oh, yeah, everybody was. Kick Scott Hall. Kick the crap out of Scott Hall, baby.
Yeah, but stupid Jarrett, man. We really need a lot less wine and a lot more cheese out of that guy, man.
Oh, yeah. Jesus Christ, man. This dude's so over the top. And the fact is that he becomes, I think it's 6 or 7-time NWA World Heavyweight, or at least a 6-time NWA World Champion.
Ugh. Yeah. I tell you, man, we've got that to look forward to, buddy. We need to have a drinking game of this show. Every time that the announcers remind us there's no security and that this is the Wild West.
we can look forward to 6 title reigns from Jeff Jarrett.
Oh, God.
In the span of, 3 years.
You wonder
so
who's
that's,
part of
that's
the stuff,
that's a longer time than it took him to get his reigns in WCW.
Wow.
WCW was a much shorter window for him winning his titles.
Yeah, oh boy.
Yeah. So we go to the announce table and they go over what happened and they talk about, and then they end up talking about the ladder versus submission match for the NWA championship, and they wonder, will it actually happen tonight now that Ken Shamrock's been knocked out?
Right.
Come on. He's Ken Shamrock, toughest yeah, exactly. man on the planet. You know
Drill,
he's gonna be there.
Drill him.
Yeah. And then they mention Styles and Lynn, and are they going to be able to work together to take on the Flying Elvises?
At least they talk some of the stories that actually are happening for once in this show.
Yeah. And this is where I put in the notes, man, the lighting set up for this damn pay-per-view really sucks. What the F happened?
Yeah.
Because this is when the entrance just started happening. I'm like, what the hell? It really started to bother me. Match number one of the night is the debuting Amazing Red, who is only 20 years old.
20 years old, wrestling since he was 16. Jonathan Figueroa, a.k.a. Sangriento Fuego Guerrero, trained by Mikey Whipwreck, and a little fun fact there. This guy's pretty awesome, is all I can say.
And he has a good long run with TNA. He really does. And he's taking on everybody's favorite kickmaster.
Low-key! Sorry, I had to give him a billing.
I love Low-key, man. That dude, his in-ring is amazing.
His presence, too. His facial expressions, he's got it all.
He just always looks angry, you know. He always looks angry, you know.
These guys are both so little. It's amazing that they put on such a good show when they're so tiny.
I think them being little is a positive to compared to the rest of this shit roster.
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah. So when Low-key rolls out, he looks so pissed. And I was thinking, as soon as I saw the look on his face, I'm like, this kid's dead. So it starts out with kick exchanges, and Amazing Red ends up actually hitting a couple arm drags, and then ends up sending Low-key to the outside.
It was sick, but who's the baby face here? He was acting like a top baby face if the crowd didn't give a crap. They wanted Loki.
Ah, yeah. Well, come on. Loki's the one they know. Loki's the one that has put on a few exciting matches for them already. But, like, trust me, by the end of this match, Red really does get over, in my opinion. The crowd really does like him by the end after everything he does in this match.
Hope he becomes a good babyface, because, man, that opening sequence is so... That's like the Rockers and stuff from WWE's history,
oh,
man.
Very.
Beautiful babyface action.
Very much so.
Arm drags, drop kicks, my favorite ways to start a match.
Oh, yeah. And then Amazing Red sets up. Looks like he's going to do a dive over the top rope, but he goes in, like, grabs the rope and just does a flip over and lands on the apron, like, as Loki's kind of, like, getting ready to dodge. Then he just comes off with this beautiful hurricanrana onto the floor. Look, like, I'm impressed by this guy. Like, just the dive, like, as he grabbed top rope and did the flip over instead.
Yeah, he's got some good physical attributes, man.
Oh, definitely. They fight on the outside. Red ends up, Amazing Red throws Loki back into the ring, and Amazing Red dodges in the corner and then hits this beauty dropkick. Finn Balor's dropkick of death, almost.
Yes.
Where he dropkick a guy and he goes smacking into the turnbuckles, and he gets a two count out of it. And Red then hits a fly. They end up getting up and they brawl a bit, and then somehow Amazing Red ends up on the top turnbuckle. Then he comes off with, like, flips over Loki, hits his beauty neckbreaker. Like, the athleticism out of this kid is crazy.
It was pretty gorgeous. I was very impressed with this.
So, when Red goes to try and do a hurricanrana, but he gets, like, flipped backwards off of Loki, and Loki ends up hitting a rolling capo kick. I love that kick.
That was beautiful.
Just for him, because if you don't know what it is, it's the flip over, front flip over, and then pretty much like coming down with your heel to the guy's head. That's a lot of athleticism to do a move like that.
And you've already talked some of the best highlights, and I haven't even got to my highlights yet. This match had a lot.
Oh, yeah. Loki ends up hitting a disaster kick for two. Then he hooks in hits a butterfly suplex, then keeps rolling over and locks in the butterfly lock, but they call it the dragon wing. Like, just the transition from the suplex into the dragon wing, I was very impressed by.
It was pretty cool. I've never, and the way it looked like it should be called the dragon wing. It was an impressive move. Hopefully he does that again.
I was impressed by it very much so. They get back up brawling, and then Red reverses in the corner. Goes up to the top, and he goes like as if he's going to like moonsault or something, so he's looking out to the crowd. He gets crotched, and Loki ends up, like, he climbs up, hooks him in, like, and then, like, falls backwards, and they're both hanging upside down from the top turnbuckle.
Dragon-style sleeper rolling back into a Trio of Woe submission. That
yeah,
was
the
a very...
the dragon clutch from the top. That was beauty.
That was one of my early highlights.
Oh, I'm impressed. Like, just to put that on hanging upside down... It only gets five count, obviously.
And damn, was the crowd loving on Loki at this moment, man? They were just chanting.
Oh, they love this guy. Like, he was so over to this crowd, man. So over to
He was knocking crowd. Their hats off. And speaking of knocking hats off, eh?
Yeah. he knocks Red's hat off.
Yeah.
They go to they do a test of strength almost, where they, like, lock the hands. And, like, they're starting the spot where they work into the corner. Red pushes himself back out. He, like, gets on top of Loki. Loki, like, kicks him up into the air. Like, it's a very athletic-looking spot in this test of strength style thing. I had never really seen it like that before.
Yeah, they had good chemistry, these guys. It was very impressive.
Loki ends up starting with, like, the kicks and the strikes. And then Loki goes for a low drop. Like, he runs in. He goes for a low drop kick. But... Amazing Red just, like, leaps up in the air and does a flip over top of him, and then runs in, hits a spin, like, he spins in the air, but spinning Enziguri. It looked great. Like, these guys, it's just, I completely missed.
The Red Star Press, I think.
Yeah, sorry, I skipped, like, three lines. I am so sorry.
Yeah, sudden standing moonsault into a pin combo by Red, the Red Star Press, man, that was gorgeous.
Yeah, and he also gets his senseless bomb, which is the code red for two count.
Yes, that was another one, the code red. And good, they have names for everything. It was great. He's gonna have, he's got a really good shtick or whatever you want to call it. All red, red, red.
Well, come on, you work your gimmick, right? The dragon clutch, the dragon wing. I don't know why it's the dragon stuff, but it works for Loki.
He needs to get with the dups and go have the red neck.
Oh, Jesus.
Sorry.
So back to the end screen. So Red hits a tornado DDT out of the corner, goes for another, but that's when Loki starts with the kicks and strikes, and then Loki goes for a low dropkick, but Red jumps over top of him and then hits a spinning end screen. That's where that happened. I skipped like four lines there. What the heck? Amazing Red goes up to the top to hit the infrared, which is a corkscrew moonsault.
Beautiful
and
infrared.
Completely misses it.
Yeah.
So Amazing Red gets up and it ends up in the corner. Loki comes in, hits that beautiful title crush cartwheel into the jumping kick, then hits the key crusher 99 for the win. And your winner is
Loki.
Key.
Yep. Damn. That
yeah.
Was
and
damn
beautiful
good
match.
Match.
Beautiful match. I was so impressed by these guys. Amazing Red, first night in, has a killer match with one of the best guys in this company.
And what a show opener. Very nice show opener.
Definitely. And then we cut to girls in cages dancing.
Yeah.
and this is where the announcers were saying, if you're going to come and visit Nashville for a vacation, you should come see NWA TNA.
I might just do that, or I might go listen to country music.
If I could go back in time, I would. Yeah. So they cut to the back, and Goldilocks is with Jeff Jarrett, and he wants, as he calls him, Joe Steroids to get out of the way so he can get the Shamrock. He calls him Joe Steroids.
Better than
I'm
what the Dubs call
him. Come on, he looked like he was on something.
Yeah, he was big.
Yeah, and he won't get out of the way, and then after he called Joe Steroids, he can't really understand much because the sound quality for this one was terrible.
Understand wanker a few times. That's about it.
Yeah, it's the sound quality is terrible in this, man. These backstage segments, I don't know what went wrong this week, man. But everything on the show went wrong to me,
yeah.
In production wise.
There's a lot of air issues.
Yeah, so we go back to the ring and we're with match number two.
Oh, Jarrett does say we'll do this on my time and walks away anyways.
Oh yeah, that then. Too. But yeah, like I said, I could barely understand half this stuff.
Yeah, it was. You have to listen really carefully. It was not easy, that's for sure.
Yeah. So we go to match number two, and it's the Hot Shots, which is Cassidy, O'Reilly, and Chase Stevens taking on the eventual America's Most Wanted, James Storms and Chris Harris.
And, of course, Anthony O'Reilly and Chase Stevens are protruding, as they had to let the audience know.
Cassidy O'Reilly. It's
Sorry?
Cassidy O'Reilly. Not Anthony. It's Cassidy.
Oh, why did I put Anthony O'Reilly? That's weird. Cassidy.
That's weird.
Yeah, it is weird.
It's Cassidy O'Reilly.
Cassidy O'Reilly and Chase Stevens. Sorry.
Chase. Chase Stevens.
Oh, and I heard Case all the time. Yeah, once again, the audio, eh?
Yeah, even on the commentators, the audio sound, like, it would cut in and out every now and again.
And I was thinking it was Chris Harrison for a while when I was making my notes, too, instead of Chris Harris.
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah.
Chris Harrison hosts The Bachelor, I think.
Oh, really? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what it sounded like a few times.
No,
terrible.
I'm pretty sure the guy who hosts the show The Bachelor, his name is Chris Harrison.
Yeah. I think so. But yeah, that's what it sounded like. It was crazy. But anyway, yeah, the Hot Shots show that they're protruding for whatever reason. And then they go back to the interview with Chris Harris and Cowboy James Storm. And I actually found that amusing, how Chris Harris is talking about what they're going to do. And then all of a sudden they go to James Storm and say, hip-a-tie-ya-yeah, we're going to get out there.
That was so dumb.
And he's like, dude, stop with that shit, man. I don't like that crap. You just go up. I told you, you're a great partner. Go out there and get the job done. Get rid of that crap, man. What do you mean? What crap are you talking about? Cowpoke?
Yeah, he was like, I don't know what you're talking. He's like, get rid of that silly gimmick. And he's like, what gimmick? It's like, what the hell?
I found it quite amusing. Anyways, it's funny that they call him the odd couple, or like the wrestling's odd couple at that time, which makes sense. It's kind of neat.
Oh,
to have.
Yeah.
It's almost like, you know, the Rock and Sock connection, you know, some of those chemistry between guys with very different shticks that don't normally fit well together.
The cat and cow connection, baby.
Yeah, pretty much. But anyways, yippee-tie-yay, this match was a fun one.
Oh, yeah, that actually a really good match.
Early on, Chris Harris hits Chase Stevens with a sick spear to clear him from the ring. Great highlight piece in the middle of some fast-paced tag team action, I thought. And then there are some amazing back-and-forth action between these guys early on. At one point, Cassidy O'Reilly drops James Storm's neck on the barricade outside the ring. Then he tries to remove the floor mat, but then for some reason gives up, you know, quite awkward. More awkwardly than James Storm's yippee-ti-yi-yays.
Yeah, that was weird. I'm just like, he like pulls the mat up, but I'm just like,
why?
All right, okay, we're going to get a spot on the floor. And then nothing.
Nope, sorry, that's next week's match or something.
Yeah, maybe he had it planned out for, maybe he's supposed to, oh, he's like, oh no, this is the show we're doing at the indie show tomorrow. Probably.
It's almost
thinking.
Like that. It's like a total botch for no reason. I didn't get
it.
Anyways.
It was just totally pointless.
Anyway, then a nice double team move where the Hot Shots double kick Storm and then double kick his leg out and then bounce off the opposite ropes and hit him with a double drop kick. And I guess they call this the sure shot. Quite the move.
I missed that, yeah. I totally missed the name of that, but that's really nice.
Darn tootin'.
Yeah.
Then Stevens reverses a whip and hits Storm with a handspring jumping back elbow. Then he hits him with a springboard seat drop moonsault off the top corner turnbuckle. 1, 2, but James Storm has other ideas. Then they hit James Storm with...
If you actually watch, he like pins him like twice. Pins him once. That's where he's like, no, I'm pinning him again.
Yeah,
and
just
then
to make sure.
It doesn't work
just
again.
To make sure the second time he's not going to... Oh, I'm out now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I hate when they do that. It's so silly. It doesn't do anything for the match. I think just they want a couple more seconds to breathe, I think, is all they do it for.
I guess so. But you're making the guy kick out again, so he's losing his breath.
I know. It's so silly, eh? Then they hit Storm with the hot shot drop. A double team raping of his throat on the top rope.
Yep.
It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, what would I call it? If it was, with the rope wasn't there, it'd be like an RKO, but like the guy also slamming him down at the same time almost.
Yeah, it was a nice
but it's onto the ropes.
Yeah.
I really liked it.
Yeah, one of my highlights. And of course, then Chase Stevens tries, but only hit for a moonsault from the top turnbuckle, but he only half hits it. So,
yeah, Storm was supposed to roll away, but he didn't get all the way out of the way by the time Stevens hit the ground.
Yeah, so maybe it was a little bit of a botch, but it was a half hit, anyways. It wasn't really a good hit or a no hit. It was something in between. Whatever that was, I don't know. But anyways, this allows Storm to make the hot tag to the Wildcat, Chris Harris, who comes in with a vicious bulldog headlock to Stevens. Then, y'all ready for this? A Luthez press on O'Reilly. That's
Everybody
Stone
loves
Cold.
The Fez press, baby. Everybody loves the Fez press. What are you talking about?
I said, that's Stone Cold. I love what's awesome. He did it almost as well as Austin. I was impressed.
It was impressive. I think he did it almost as well as Trish.
Yeah, the Luthez press is awesome. I do that on my own. When I play WWE 2K, I always have the Luthez press, man. That's
I never had that move.
Really? Oh, I got to do it every match. It doesn't feel right if I don't. But anyways, then the ref loses all control and all four men battle in the ring, but a swinging noose tornado DDT by Storm clears O'Reilly from the ring, and then a Northern Lights suplex into a pin by Chris Harrison on Stevens wins it. Chris Harris wins it. Your winners, Wildcat, Chris Harris, and Cowboy James Storm. Darn
tootin'. The future America's Most Wanted.
Yeah. Once again, darn tootin'.
Yeah, I just wanted to call them America's Most Wanted. It's getting annoying at this point.
Yeah, I know. It's like they're just like two guys that have different names for no reason.
And I think within like a year or two, like Chase Stevens has a whole different partner.
Oh really?
In Andy Douglas, and they're known as the Naturals, and they work together in TNA for a good while too.
I guess it's better than Elix Skipper having a different partner every week. But anyway, I'm not going to go there yet.
that'll change in a little in 2003.
Yeah, I guess. But anyways, they made O'Reilly and Stevens look like a couple of cowpokes that just stepped in a pile or a bunch of cow pies. Yeehaw!
Yeah.
Harris and Storm still undefeated. Match time 5.5 minutes.
But after the match, Cassidy ends up rolling back in, and he attacks both Storm and Chris Harris. Then the Hot Shots hit both men with the
their
super kick German.
And their own cap guns.
they do the super kick German combo to both, and then they pick up the guns looking at him. And Chris Harris specifically said to James Storm, do not bring the guns to the ring.
Yeah, do not.
Then they get their asses kicked with the guns.
Cap guns. Yeah. How unfortunate.
They look like metal ones, too.
And as they remind us, there's no security to help. Once again, how unfortunate.
Yeah. So we end up cutting to the back, and Goldilocks is in the back with Shamrock to get an update. Doctor's checking on him, and then all of a sudden, Shamrock just, like, he comes out of a daze and, like, grabs the ref by the collar, slams him against the wall, and is like, where's Jeff Jarrett? Screaming, where's Jeff Jarrett? And then he just lets him go and walks the hell off.
Yeah.
I'm just like, did we really need this?
Well,
we could have got that update right from Mike Tenay.
But you know, though, it's a little bit of story in action, and then
I prefer that to all the
sexual crap that they did all the other weeks. I'll get to that later on, though.
Oh, no, we're going to get more of that. Don't worry, buddy.
Yeah. I have a good way to illustrate that later on. So
we end up cutting back to the ring, and it's time for match number 3, and then it's Apollo versus the Recrest and Brian Lawler.
And Apollo is another Figueroa. His name is German Figueroa. So they're both Puerto Rican, I guess, him and Red.
Might be a common name down there for all we know.
Probably. And I mean, there's an announcer too in the WWE Italian team named Figueroa as well. So yeah, it must be a common name. But anyways, yeah, another guest performer, Apollo. Well, as I'll mention, I wasn't totally impressed with him, but I will.
I was not impressed by this match, even a little bit.
Yeah, and really, yeah, Apollo didn't help, and I'll get to that in a second here. But anyways, Apollo starts out hitting an early sit-out power bomb on Lawler for a two count. Kind of weak, really, for a guy that big. Not impressive. And then Lawler comes back and chokes Apollo with his choke chain. How handy he wore one to the ring today, and how nice of the ref not to notice exactly what he was doing when he picked it up and used it on him. Like, yeah.
It's just like, really? It's like, he's choking him. And the ref was looking directly at him. I'm like, he's choking him.
Yeah, like,
do something.
Like, it's obvious he's choking, but yeah, the ref's like, way too nonchalant for whatever reason. But anyways, then Lawler drapes Apollo's throat on the bottom rope and does his move.
Middle rope.
And does his move where he runs, slides under the bottom rope, turns around and punches him. I call it a poor man 619.
I have officially named this move. Called the Slide 1-9.
Slide 1-9. I got to remember that because they use it all the time now.
That's my new name for that move, is the Slide 1-9.
I got to add that to my moves list. Just a second here. I'm writing down new moves all the time. Slide 1-9. Great.
Yeah, it's official. It's the Slide 1-9.
Yeah, that's how we're going to refer to it as, man.
Yep.
Anyways, then Lawler hits a nice flying drop kick from the second turnbuckle. And finally, a bit later, Apollo comes back a little bit, hits a vicious super kick. Really surprising for a big man, but it's equally surprising as how little strength he has. He can't even pick him up in a fireman's carry or anything. He seems to struggle for with the match overall. Not very impressive for such a guy who looks like he's built like a shit brick house, you know?
Lawler is getting a little fat, though.
Yeah, maybe, but he's not exactly, 300 pounds or anything.
Yeah.
That Apollo, man, is all look and no real muscle. It's like, what the heck is with him?
But I've seen him do some good stuff, but, like, he's not a crazy impressive guy, I would say. Yeah.
I can't Figueroa the differences between him and the other Figueroa, so.
I can. It's a very big difference. If you can't, you're crazy.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, anyways, yeah, not impressed with him. And shortly after, Lawler's ready to put him away, but he's showboating and like turning, gesturing to the crowd and doing his dance. Like, what the hell?
He started out and did the too cool dance, and then he hit a neck breaker.
Yeah, but then he's dancing to the crowd when he's got the guy put away. Like, he's useless. And then freaking he allows Paulo to come up and hit him with a schoolboy rollover leverage pin and get the 1, 2, 3. What a way for one of your top heels to lose yet again, man.
It was embarrassing.
I know. And match time is about 6 minutes. Nothing to write about. Nothing helped either.
I think about 4 minutes too long.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, Jesus.
But it was, of course, they had to do something, so Lawler does get pissed off, and he tries to choke the life out of announcer Don West, who is just simply, commenting on it. And of course, once again, they have to keep reminding us, chaos, Wild West, and no security. How unfortunate. And of course...
No, they had a security guy sitting there.
Oh, yeah?
He just looked really scared of Brian Lawler.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, but, like, you gotta remember, Don West is a guy they beat up because he's getting beaten up by Brian Lawler now. He got beat up by Puppet.
Yeah, let's get this straight.
Lawler has to stop saying things to wrestlers after their matches, and Otherwise, he gets hurt from them. Simple as that.
Yeah. So, it's to take stock, we have Chaos, Wild West, and a poor, nearly lifeless West.
Yeah.
Dawn.
Oh, jeez. So, they're on the table for a bit after Lawler leaves, and, you know, Dawn West recovering. Then they cut back, and Borash brings out K-Crush.
Yep.
Yeah, and I will point this out before we start. He's wearing an Iverson Sixers jersey.
Yeah, it might make sense, I guess, with the speech he gave.
Yeah, and they recap the hanging spots from of him hanging Hall and him hanging Norman Smiley and him hanging Norman Smiley's fat wife, you know. I can say that because I'm fat. Yeah. Then K-Crush gets on the mic. And he says he wants them to refer to him by his name. And his name is The Truth.
That is The Truth.
He K-Crush is no longer. He says, they gave him that damn name. They will no longer name him or be their puppet. I transcribed a bunch of this. He's going to walk when he says, I'm going to walk when I damn it want to walk. Won't talk when they want me to talk. I'm like, okay, it's getting confusing. He will not follow the rules. And then my favorite part, the crowd started chanting anarchy, anarchy.
Yeah,
man, they're chanting. In 2002, they were chanting for this podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was thinking of the same thing. Total non-stop anarchy, baby.
I loved it. Just hearing a random anarchy chant, I don't know where it came from, but I'm like, this is great.
I couldn't figure out either, but it was funny. I didn't understand what that was all about.
And then he says, there is one thing and one thing only. It's about the damn truth.
The damn truth. And the truth hurts and shall set you free.
He doesn't say that quite yet.
No, I know. I'm just adding a little
He says he knows how the great ones have been kept down. He calls Iverson the best ever. Not so much.
Adding color and speaking of color, right?
Yeah, they treat him like a criminal. Calls Tyson the best boxer ever. There's an argument, but there's them better.
A bit of fear. Dan-an-an. I love that spoof.
Yeah, and then he goes, they treat him as a criminal because he's talking about Tyson this time.
But he bit his ear.
They say they hold the great ones down, great ones like him down. And then he brings up Daryl Strawberry, I think it's Roy Gooden, I think he says, Ray Lewis, and then finally finishes it off with O.J. Simpson.
Why did they treat him like a criminal?
He only got convicted a few years ago.
I know, eh?
No, man. Like, what are you talking about? Innocent until proven guilty, right?
Yeah, it's the juice.
They didn't prove him guilty until he robbed a hotel suite.
Yeah. But yeah, I had to juice us for this race thing for all it's worth, eh?
Yeah. So Monty Brown comes out to interrupt. He says, poor, poor oppressed one. We have heard all you need to say. He says not to go where he thinks he's going, because I'm pretty sure he was going to start getting to a very racial area. And he talks about making opportunity. He says he's been to two Super Bowls and, was it, two Pro Bowls?
Something like that. He played for the Bills and the Patriots.
Yeah. And he says he came to wrestling, and he came to wrestling to make a career. And then literally boy, I'm like, why would he give up on a football career like that? And they call him like a dumbass or something. I'm like, yeah, way to sell one of your top baby faces, you dick.
Yeah, no kidding.
I don't care if you're a heel or not. Way to sell a top baby face, you dick.
And he really wasn't that amazing in football anyways. He had a short career.
No, but yeah, it's just like, yeah, but you know, he played for Super Bowl winning teams. It's
not there. Winning. No winning. The Bills never won.
Oh, did he? But it says he won two Super Bowls, so.
Or he, I think he went he won to two Super Bowls. Bowls
so. Yeah. Went to two. I thought he said he won two, but could be wrong.
The Bills went to four in a row, so he probably went to two.
He said he made two Pro Bowls, so.
Yeah, Pro Bowls, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. The truth may be, he says, the truth may be you can talk the talk, but you can't walk the walk. The truth may also be K-Crush ain't all that. He literally calls him K-Crush, even though he's the truth now.
Yeah.
What disrespect. Come on, respect the man. Respect his name.
You want the truth? Then, you can't handle the truth.
And he says, the truth may be he may take his punk ass out right now. Truth says he has no problem, dog. My favorite name, dog. And then he says they both got bills. He wants him to step your Uncle Tom ass out and hits Monty Brown with the mic. Monty Brown, he sold that mic shot, man. I will say that, but he comes right back, double 100 hook suplex, and Truth comes back, runs the rope, goes for a crossbody, but he gets caught, gets hit with the Alpha Bomb.
And Alpha Monty Bomb!
Alpha Bomb! And then he rips the jersey off of Truth. Like, man, he probably spent some good money on that jersey. Dude, don't rip his jersey off of him.
My bad.
Yeah. Then we cut to a video package of, Styles and Lynn, right?
AJ Styles and Jerry Lynn, yeah, as tag team champs and their conflict.
Yeah, their conflict. Then it cuts to an interview. I really didn't give a shit. It's just them it's just them making up, right?
Pretty much, and actually showing an interesting way to give you some faith that the team's going to survive, even though we know it isn't.
Hell no. I'm pretty sure they lose the titles within the next week or two.
They did a good job with those promos, though. I mean, you actually could have been convinced that they might survive, even though we saw the mega powers explode. I mean, it's obviously going to happen. It's not like it was any different.
So the minor powers are about to explode?
The minor powers, yeah. Yeah, AJ.
Because, they're in the minor leagues, right?
Yeah, AJ is not going to be a major power for quite some time.
definitely not. And we cut back to the ring. It's time for a NWA Tag Team Championship match.
You betcha, with the Flying Elvises this time, with Jimmy Yang instead of Sonny Siaka in the ring. Sonny Siaka does his commentary.
Remember, we discussed this last episode. It's the Flying Disco Infernos.
Flying Disco Infernos. Although, as I point out later on, Yang has a better Elvis dance than the other two.
It's true, but the other two look like Disco Inferno more than they look like. They all look like more like Disco Inferno than they do like Elvis. Simple as that.
Pretty much. Actually, I was kind of intrigued by the relationship with Sonny Siaki. Is he older and more experienced with them? It's almost like he's kind of trying to help them along more than with the commentary and the social stuff.
Yeah.
I'm almost wondering if he's like mentoring them somehow or something. I don't know the dynamic.
Mentoring in quotations.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, yeah. Just a side note that I had that was interesting. But anyways, yeah, he's on the sideline not doing a lot, doing a little bit of talking with the guy in the commentary. That's about it. Anyways, it was mostly Jorge Estrada and Jimmy Yang in this one.
Mostly.
Yeah. So anyways, early on, a beautiful gory special submission by Jerry Lynn on Jorge Estrada. It looks kind of silly, just silly enough to be amazing, though, man. A la Gory Guerrero.
But he never locked the legs, though.
Yeah, I guess it's a little off. Oh, Jerry Lynn, don't be cruel, man. That got to give him a hunk of burning muscles, though. But anyways, yeah, it was a little, not perfect, but it's a pretty cool move, one way or another, whether you do it perfect or not, you know?
It's a setup for the vertebraker, but you just don't drop.
Yeah, exactly. It was neat to see. That was one of the things that jumped out at me early on. And it was then a great tilt-a-whirl head scissor takedown by Lynn on Estrada. I said, sicker-ishes, man. That was pretty neat. Then some nice double team action by the champs with a double face drop on Estrada. Then a nice AJ Styles dropkick Jerry Lynn leg drop combo. Nice tag team wrestling early on. They really were showing some synchronization.
In the first probably two thirds of this match, they were showing great synchronization. Man, these two together.
I almost wish they weren't a time bomb, but they're needed other places. They shouldn't be a tag team. They're kind of wasting talent, I think, a little bit. But anyway, that's another story. But anyways, then we finally get to see Jimmy Yang for the first time in a few weeks, and he actually has some semi-proper Elvis dance rather than the Flying Disco Infernos we usually get from Jorge Estrada. Oh, thank you very much for that reference, Andre.
Disco time.
I thought I was going to get to that. Disco. Yeah. Oh, wait, we got a little, spoiler alert about Disco Inferno coming up soon. But anyways, that's another story. It was then some more double team action, a takedown senton combo by Lynn and Styles on Jimmy Yang. Then after a flurry of well-choreographed misses from Lin and Yang, Lin hits with a... Sorry, do you have something to say?
No, no, I just laughed. You said some well-choreographed misses. I just found that very humorous.
That was exactly the way to put it. It was like a dance where they were not hitting each other. Anyways, then Lin hits with this beautiful tilt-a-whirl backbreaker from Lin on Yang. That was another nice move. Very nice. As AJ Styles tags in and later Yang throws AJ in the corner, and AJ springs out and does a flying attack at Yang, but hits him flush in the knee. I guess they made it out as a great reversal by Yang. Looks sick for poor AJ, though.
Yeah,
I don't know if it was like a botch or...
It looked like he ate a knee. Simple as that.
I mean, it could be AJ just, you know, playing it up and you know, trying to look like he got hurt when he was actually doing a very athletic move, but it didn't look nice.
No, it looked a little awkward.
Yeah, so I don't know if that was intentional or just a little off, or it's just trying to look like not every match is going to be perfect, because really, in a real life, what fight would be perfect? I don't
know. None. Trust me. I've watched so many fights in my life.
Exactly.
Professional and amateur. Trust me.
So yeah, I mean, who knows? It fit, but it just was a little weird. But as AJ ends up getting a vicious clothesline from Sonny Siaka outside the ring, even though he isn't even in the match. Like,
he makes a couple of big spots in this match, even though he's not working it.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, he has a big part to play in this tag team, even when he's not wrestling. But anyways, then the Elvises continue on the offense. Jimmy Yang does a front suplex crotches AJ Styles in the corner turnbuckle.
Oh.
It was pretty nasty. And of course, the Elvises come so close to winning the tag title several times.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, I'm going to get to that they probably should have. But anyway, that's another story.
Well, it would have made a lot more sense for the story had they had Styles and Lin drop the titles here.
I know, it's so silly. Again, another opportunity missed. But anyways, finally after a bunch of offense from the Elvises, AJ Styles misses an enziguri, then catches him with the reverse of the enziguri. That was a really
good the reverse mule kick.
Yeah, that was damn good. It was like missed, and then you think, okay, well, something else is going to happen, and bang, back the other way, right across his head. Finally, then AJ makes a hot tag to Jerry Lynn, who comes in and hammers away and goes crazy on the Elvises. Totally jailhouse rock, man. And everyone but AJ's outside the ring. AJ goes for a suicide leap over the top rope, but hits Jerry Lynn instead and cuts his forehead wide open. Blood.
This is where, like, okay, so Lynn is standing directly behind both Estrada and Yang, and as AJ goes and leaps, Siaki runs in and tackles both the Elvises, and they all bail out. It was a very impressively timed spot.
Well choreographed, and the fact that they cut Jerry Lynn open, just, you know, made it a red match, is really...
Well, he hit Lynn, and Lynn's face went into the barricade.
Yeah, and actually got cut.
Yeah. It hit so hard it split him open. That's what happened.
The second nicest thing, or maybe that is the nicest, later on, that table back cut was pretty cool too. But we'll get to that later.
Yeah, that was pretty brutal.
But yeah, cuts him open and just chaos. They also try to finish off AJ while Jerry Lynn bleeds outside the ring. AJ gets out of it and climbs to the top rope for his big move. Gonna hit right? No.
You did miss when they got back in the ring and they had AJ.
The double suplex thingy.
No. When they each came off the corners, they hit that splash leg drop combo.
Oh, okay.
That's actually stolen from the Hardy Boys.
Oh, okay.
That's the Event Omega. That was their original double team move.
Okay. It was such chaos. It was hard to pick all the little spots out, but that is kind of cool now that you mention it.
I really like that. I'm like, they don't mention it, but I'm like, oh, dude, this hit Event Omega. That's awesome.
I mean, of course, they did that double. They do a double, was a face buster or a suplex, and just lots of good stuff. But then AJ, anyways, gets out of it, climbs to the top rope to hit his move, and no, not going to get to finish it because a bleeding Jerry Lynn climbs or gets onto his feet, catches, I can't tell, whichever the legal one was.
Estrada
in a guillotine leg drop from outside the ring, climbs into the ring, gets the pin before AJ can jump.
He didn't climb in. He launches himself over the top and comes down with a splash.
On a pin. Yeah, that's right. Sorry. I was in a hurry when I wrote that. Yeah, he did the springboard pin or splash pin. But it was your winners and still your NWA Tag Team Champions of the World, AJ Styles and Jerry Lynn.
So otherwise known as the guys who don't like each other.
Yeah, and AJ's pissed. Like, what the hell? You're talking about how you're, you know, selfless and everything, and you're happy to win and be a champion. You don't get to hit your move and you're crying? Like, what the hell? I have no idea.
AJ Styles is a selfish, selfish bastard.
I know. Since when?
I guess since this week.
I know. it's like this storyline is getting so silly. But
if you've watched the last like couple times they've worked together, he's tagged himself in at the end of both matches to hit either a Styles Clash or a Spiral Tap. He has stolen the wins from Jerry Lynn.
I guess you were right. Maybe I thought I was just doing it because.
But like, for me, I was kind of after this week. I was thinking it's probably an underlying like wanna be the spot guy, but now it's becoming known to him that he's selfish in the ring.
Yeah, maybe it's, what do you call it? It grows on you, the adrenaline or whatever. It becomes an addiction.
Yeah, glory, maybe that's it. Like that, the glory. Yeah, an addiction to being the guy.
Yeah, so I guess that's all it can be. But the story is getting really silly. And really, why didn't they just have like the Flying Elvises had won like a big match winning streak? They were hot, ready to go. Why not have them win the titles? They're gonna drop them. We know Jerry Lynn and Lawler, or I'm sorry, and AJ are gonna drop them anyways. Why not have them build them up and have them win the titles and have AJ and Jerry Lynn just be mad at each other or like blame each other?
Yeah,
like,
it could work. It would make more sense to the story, and it gets the Elvises over.
And another missed opportunity. Two teams they could have built up as heel tag team champions, and they bypass both for what? So they can keep two of their best men tied up in a tag team storyline, which is way beneath their abilities, in my opinion.
Which could easily be a singles program, which in reality is the singles program that's stuck with a tag team element.
I know. Why make the other tag teams feel like crap? Why? What are you saying to their tag teams when you have two guys who shouldn't be a tag team hogging the spotlight in the titles? Like, it just makes no sense.
Well, you have
very bad.
You have two tag teams which are fighting with each other constantly, and and their entire thing is about how they can't get along, yet they can beat every other team out there.
I know. I don't know. It's just very bad booking, in my opinion.
It's so dumb to me.
And I like the Flying Elvises. I thought that might have been just the boost they needed to stick around for a little while longer and maybe give some flavor. They're characters. They give flavor to the mat, to the promotion, and yet they have them lose their biggest match.
Yeah. So we cut to girls in cages dancing.
Yeah, gotta have them.
Daniel's favorite part of the show, you know.
Yeah. And of course, remember Jeremy Borash is Nath.
And then we cut to the Disco Inferno.
The old Disco Inferno, not the Jorge Estrada version.
No, the actual Disco Inferno. And he has a new segment called Jive Talking. And he starts telling lies.
Yeah, pretty
simple.
Much.
Simple. He says he's the first man to pin Goldberg and all this other. I didn't write it down because it was just all complete horse crap. And
at least it's as truthful as Jerry Lawler hanging out at the high school with a handful of candy.
I think that has more truth to it.
You think?
Probably. So, and all I know is that we're getting a full segment, like a full segment the next week. It's going to be a longer segment, in-ring bullshit, like, I don't know. It's what I've heard anyways. Yeah, strive talking.
What we need is more Disco Inferno talking for 15 minutes.
He is a character that should have never been part of TNA. I don't care who you are. Screw that guy.
Screw you, man. I'm going home.
Yeah. So, more girls in cages dancing.
Excuse me. Yes, more girls in cages. Gotta have them left, right, and center, man. They're full swing now. Yeah. Total porn now, or all light porn.
Yeah. And then we cut to the back, and Goldilocks is with Shamrock. And he asks about Jeff Jarrett. Then he leaves.
Yeah.
That's it. And we go to match number 5 of the night. And it's another tag team match. It is Simon Diamond with his partner Johnny Swinger taking on Alex Skipper and the Alpha Male Monty Brown.
And how did they get together? I mean, they don't. I mean, obviously, we find out later. You know, no spoilers
They're black.
But exactly. How do they get together?
I don't hate mean it's not racist, but they're black.
Like, what happened with Daniels? Like, why not him again? Why are they?
Well, Monty needed a partner to face these guys.
So I guess. He found the first black guy
he's not fighting with.
Makes sense. Yeah, he's the other black guy he's fighting.
I think it's not racist, but it kind of comes off that way. Because of what happens after the match, it kind of comes off like, yeah, he grabbed him because his partner's because he's black, and yeah, that's kind of the way it felt.
Yeah, this is kind of a storyline that seems to, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
A mini storyline, I guess.
Yeah, so we get a fairly good tag team match out of these guys, and Elix ends up brawling with Diamond, and they have like bunch of bombing sequence, but it ends up getting popped. Like, Diamond pops Elix up, but he comes down, hits a Hurricanrana for two. I loved it. That pop-up Rana looked great.
Yep.
Yeah. Swinger runs in, gets cut off by Monty Brown and knocking him out of the ring, and then Skipper and Monty Brown ends up hitting dual dropkicks on Diamond. I was impressed that Monty, you could jump that high.
These guys looked like a good tag team.
They really did. I was impressed. I was getting impressed, like, especially with Monty and Elix working together. Yeah. Swinger gets tagged into the match, and they hit a sidewalk. Diamond and Swinger end up hitting a sidewalk slam DDT combo onto Elix Skipper. I like double team moves.
Yep. That's part of tag team wrestling.
Swinger goes for like a springboard out of the corner cross body, but Elix does that matrix move where he like goes all the way back. I love it. This guy, two people in wrestling do matrix moves. Right?
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
The Matrish and Elix's matrix move.
Yep.
So he stole it from Trish Stratus.
I guess so.
Yeah. Diamond gets tagged back in, and they end up hitting a double flatliner. That actually was really impressive when they hit the double flatliner. I was like, I've never actually seen that as a double team move before.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm impressed.
Very creative, anyways.
Yeah. Diamond ends up going to attack Elix, but he ends up hitting Swinger, and then Elix gets a Northern Lights suplex on him. Which is, I'm like, okay. But then the attack to his partner really doesn't affect anything in this match.
Yeah.
I'm like, when you end up hitting your own partner, it should lead to something really big in a match, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I hate those when it's just stupid spots like that. Monty ends up getting tagged in, and Swinger ends up coming back in, and they end up double teaming Monty. Elix comes in for the save, but Diamond and Swinger end up hitting a move that would become famous 3 years later, the Snapshot, made famous by Nitro Mercury.
Okay.
That's where he lifts him up on his shoulders, the other guy kind of grabs him DDT style, and they drop down. Yeah, they hit it.
Yeah.
I was like, that's a Snapshot. I'm like, that's cool.
It's good to see a little bit of an origin of it.
Yeah, it is. Diamond and Swinger go for dual clotheslines on Monty Brown, but Diamond gets tripped up, and Swinger jumps in to crossbody Monty Brown. Monty Brown catches him, lifts him up, alpha bomb, and it's
alpha
over.
Bomb.
1, 2, 3. Your winners are Elix Skipper and Monty Brown.
Darn tootin'.
Yeah.
You know, though, sorry to interrupt, we were talking about tag team moves a lot. I am not going to be happy until I see another tag team do the rowboat again. I want to see the robot
the
first
robot?
Time, where they get the one guy and they're on either side of him. They grab his arm and leg and they like row him, row his arm and leg back and forth. I love.
I've never seen that. What the hell
midgets,
did I?
I saw midgets do it once. I laughed my arse off.
Oh man, I don't think it'd be as funny with like full grown humans. So I hope we get some midgets wrestling. Some midget wrestling on this show that gives us a robot.
It is a funny. What do you call it? A comedy relief move. It looks so ridiculous that you just have to laugh. I miss it so much.
Yeah. So after the match, the Truth comes out. He's known as the Truth.
The Truth.
And starts choking Monty with his belt and attacking him. Skipper standing there and does absolutely nothing.
Yeah. Hey, buddy. How you doing, man? Hey, man. Hey, bro.
So, ladies and gentlemen, it was a setup. They're saying it was a setup. Maybe it's just Elix Skipper's like, I didn't really like this guy. We won, but I don't like this guy. Screw it. I'm not going to do anything to help him.
He's kind of a douche, man.
maybe Elix Skipper's just a guy who doesn't give a shit. Maybe that. Maybe it wasn't a setup. Maybe he just doesn't give a shit. Simple as that.
Maybe. I mean, is it a heel turn or is it just, who cares a crap?
I don't give a shit.
Let him do what he wants.
It looks like I don't give a shit.
Or, hey, bro, let my two brothers sort it out.
Yeah. So, we end up cutting to R-Truth hangs Monty,
yeah.
Like he's done to Norman and Hall.
He's the hangman, man.
And then it cuts away during the hanging.
Yeah, during the hanging.
While he's being hung, it cuts away to the back. I'm like, really? Just let him down first. Like,
I guess they had more important news to cover in the back.
not this segment, because Goldilocks is.
I emphasize the word news.
Stan getting creepy as always.
As always.
They're mad because they have no match, and then he says, where's Fluff? And then Bo says, with Popped Up.
Yeah.
He makes a joke about how Popped Up does a bunch of Viagra, then has sex with sheep.
And Fluff. And they couldn't walk straight for a week.
Now, my God.
That, as I always say, that is flucked up.
Yeah, I'm so done with these guys. Bo ends up grabbing Goldilocks' titty.
Yep.
And then they talk about a challenge. All you do is bump into a person.
We don't got ourselves a match, man.
And then they bump. So they end up deciding to bump into Ian Harrison. And he chases them.
You talking to me? He tries to do like the talking
you're
to me.
You're talking
thing,
to me?
But he does it
you're
with his
talking
own
to me?
Usual that, redneck stuttering the, style, which
the,
is kind of funny.
The De Niro thing.
Yeah.
From Taxi.
Yeah,
you talking to me?
That's it, yeah.
Yeah. And they challenge him. He says, yeah, whatever. And then they leave, and then he goes right after them. So Ian Harrison has abandoned his post.
Yep, he has.
And I think the Dupps are retarded.
Yeah, they act retarded. That's the whole point.
I say retarded, and I hate this so much. I think it's the worst crap ever.
It's a good point, though, because, I mean,
that's not
a great way to get a match
means.
If you want a match.
I just hate
piss
this
somebody
shit.
Off.
Ugh. So they cut back to Boris. He starts announcing a match, and the Dupps interrupt. So we're not actually supposed to get this match, as the announcers say. This is unprompted. So we get match number 6 of the night, and it's bowed up against
some
random
guy
big guy
the
in the back.
Back.
Yeah. And it's the Iron Brit, Ian Harrison. He is a former Mr. Universe,
yep.
And was a finalist in Mr. Olympia.
Very impressive guy.
That's what I learned from the commentators. I didn't actually research the guy.
I looked him up. He didn't wrestle a lot, but he had a decent wrestling career. But yeah, he was very famous in that area.
Yeah. So stand up gets on commentary, and Bo, and this is essentially my least favorite match of the entire night.
Yeah, no kidding. You call it a match.
It really sucks. Ian does power spots. Bo does power spots. Both are big guys.
I will say I was impressed with how good of a big power guy Bo Dupp is for, you know, he's acts like a goof, but he's actually a pretty big, powerful guy. He went toe-to-toe pretty good with the Brit, I thought.
Oh, he did. And
he impressed me.
At a couple points, stand-ups on commentary, and he's making jokes that Ian's gay.
Oh, yeah.
and then he keeps making Australian references about him.
Yeah, that's
even
true.
He's British,
yeah, not Australian. Good eye, mate. Good eye, mate.
He's making good eye, mate jokes, and he's making Crocodile Dundee jokes, and it's like...
Simp on the Bobby.
Crocodile Hunter jokes. It's like, what the serious fudge is going on here? I absolutely hated this, man. I absolutely hated all of this.
Stupid comedy relief.
The ending comes in a messed up situation where Harrison hits a power slam. Your ref counts one,
these guys do
two.
Power slams, really?
The Harrison did. Spinning power slam.
That's the joke, the British Bulldogs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and then stand-up's late for his interference spot. So I swear the ref counted three, but
like
he says he saw. So the ref ends up, I guess, explaining it to somebody. Says he saw stand-up running into the ring with the board, so called a DQ before he got in.
Whatever. All I know is he didn't get the three count. And they
I'm pretty sure Stand Up was late for his spot.
It's possible.
He was supposed to roll in and hit him. And so they get in, they fight Ian Harrison inside, and Bo goes to hit Ian with the wood. Ian gets the wood, hits Bo with it. Stan bails to the outside.
No, he doesn't hit him. He breaks it in two over his head or something.
Broke it over his knee. You're right. Yeah. Sorry. And that's when Bo bails to the outside. They both bail to the outside.
That's too bad because the Dupsy, you think wood is good, but not in this case.
I guess so. We cut to the back, and Jericho's into the room. He says, where's his belt? Shamrock fights him. They get broken up. That really angry security guard says, we're going to... We'll take care of this. You go do your match. And then we go back to the ring, and it is time for the main event of the evening.
It is long time for the main event. And even though there's barely 10 minutes to go, they still have to have a flashback, so they have even less time for the main event.
I think this match went like about 9 minutes, some seconds.
Barely, not even 10 minutes.
Yeah, it was ladder versus submission match for the NWA World Championship. Yeah, I wrote down a recap video last week. Literally, I wrote...
The show is almost over, and they're recapping the main event before they actually do it, when they've got so little time as it.
And they showed a good like 3 minute three minutes of the match.
It was a like, good. What? It would have been a good match if they had more time for it.
Yeah, this was brutal. Shamrock out without his belt as usual.
It's hanging above the ring, right?
It's hanging above the ring. But again, I haven't seen Ken Shamrock carry that belt out at any time.
Yeah. They need to have a truth match where the guy is hanging by his noose on up above the ring and, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
never mind.
Pretty much the first half of this match is them brawling, Sabu trying for an armbar or a leg hold, and then Shamrock reversing into his own knee bar.
Yeah, a few little stupid
missions. Am I right? Is that at least the first 5 minutes of the match?
Yeah, it was nothing. It was just a bunch of submission attempts.
And Shamrock kicked Sabu in the face. Like, kicked him in his broken nose.
Yeah.
Like, legit kicked him.
How unfortunate.
the announcers announce, because at one point, they get an update from the back, the security guards have abandoned the building. So later on in the match, they get another update.
We're going home.
Yeah. They get another update later on in the match, and it is that Ricky the Dragon Steamboat will come in, and he is the new authority, and he will run. He has full control of the show starting next week.
Yeah, I love Ricky Steamboat, but what the frick is he gonna do? He's one little guy.
He's gonna give him some arm drags.
Yeah.
Come on, he's gonna give him the arm drags.
And maybe a flying body press.
Yeah.
There's much more pressing needs for the NWA.
Hey. I saw a Ricky the Dragon Steamboat who was on a bad knee hit some beautiful chops.
Yeah. Beautiful chops. Yeah.
And that was last March.
Maybe we'll get lucky and he'll hit Jeff.
Oh, sorry, no.
Chops.
That was last this past June.
Yeah. Well, I would love to have gone to see him.
Yeah. So now we get into the latter 4 minutes of this, the final 4 minutes of this match, so the back half of the match.
The only part that was actually good, we'll call it.
Sabu hits a springboard leg lariat and flip over the ropes leg drop. I was very impressed by that.
Yep.
He just grabbed the rope and then just somersaulted himself over on Shamrock. He actually goes for a pin here, but the ref's just like, no. So he applies an armbar, but guess what? Shamrock reverses it into a knee bar.
Boar's wasting time submission moves to make. They didn't want this match. They would like to have wiped it off. They're like, oh shit, did we announce that match last week? Damn, how can we make the match as meaningless as possible?
God
what were we thinking?
So, Sabu ends up in the corner. Ken Shamrock actually hits a running hip attack and jumps up. He ends up hitting his hip into Sabu's face.
Nose again.
Oh, Jesus. Like, he's brutalizing his nose. So Sabu just, like, rolls to the outside, and he looks, like, he legitimately looks pissed off.
You know what? If you haven't seen that funny soccer video of, what's his name? I can't think of his name now. It's Scott Sterling! You gotta look it up on YouTube. It is...
I will have to.
Scott Sterling soccer. You gotta look it up. Anyway.
Actually, you know what? I'm gonna look it up right here on this podcast.
It's so funny.
So you get my reaction on here.
Oh, awesome, because it is so fitting. Scott Sterling, the poor guy.
YouTube. Let's go. Is it on YouTube?
YouTube. Scott Sterling soccer.
How do you spell that?
Oh, S-C-O-T.
Sterling or Starling?
Sterling. S-T-E-R.
Okay, my computer's being very slow. Scott Sterling.
It's better than this match anyway, so.
Soccer. There's one that says Scott Sterling volleyball.
Oh, they must have got another video of him. But anyways, it's soccer you want. He's a goaltender.
Is it top soccer shot with Scott Sterling?
Possibly. That sounds...
First one comes up.
Well.
Yeah, so here we go. Oh, is this the... Oh, I think I know what this one is. I'm pretty sure I've seen this before.
I hope so. It's hilarious.
So he's setting up to kick a penalty shot?
Yeah, top soccer shootout, yes.
Right off his face.
And then fast forward like 4 more times.
Oh! Oh, what the fuck? Dude, his nose is broken.
It's Scott Sterling. Every single fucking time the ball goes right into his nose.
You can legit see his nose. And the doctor runs out, shines a light on his face, then just leaves.
No concussion protocol there. Perfect for TNA, eh?
Oh, I was just like, this is so stupid. Okay, I'm on the second one. Oh, no! Jesus!
That's exactly right. And the announcer, it's
this can't be real.
It is, and it said it was, but it's so funny. You just have to roll on the floor laughing. And
is this real or
it's
not?
It's not Sterling. No, it's.
Okay, I didn't think so. I'm like, this is way too. And then the doctor walks out.
By the end, you can
just
tell.
Lifts him up, and he's bleeding, and then just like he's dragging him off the field. Okay, thank God. Like, the first kick, I thought, oh, okay.
How unfortunate, you know?
This could be real, right?
Yeah.
After the second kick, I'm just like, there's no way this is real.
It gets worse.
Oh, dude, I gotta see this. The other goalie's pretty good.
Yeah. He stops everything.
No. Oh, he just lays down in the corner. Oh, what the hell? What's this guy? Oh, the other guy's just tying his shoe. What an asshole. Oh, my God. This is... Oh, he turns around. Oh, right off his face. Jesus. If you haven't... Ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't seen... I'm turning it off now. But if you haven't seen this video, you need to watch this video.
Oh, it is hilarious, oh. Man. I cry when I watch this.
Oh,
man.
That was so good. Oh,
anyways,
so good.
Remind
so,
me of that.
So we cut back to the match. We're going to get back to the match now, but that was amazing. We get back to the match, and Sabu ends up rolling to the outside. He gets the ladder, but Shamrock dropkicks the ladder into his face. Again,
yeah.
Another shot to the nose.
Scott That's three. Sterling!
That's three. Oh, my God. This is where they start fighting, and then Ken actually takes Sabu up the ramp on the outside, beating him down. He throws him off the stage, and he hits goes into the dancer's cage head first.
Yeah.
Oh, I hope he didn't hit his nose again. Like, Jesus Christ. Ken Shamrock climbs up the barricade, grabs him, brings him back up, and they start fighting back down. And this is where Sabu ends up Irish whips Ken Shamrock into the barricade.
And finally gets the frickin' table.
And he gets out the table.
Get the table!
So he puts Shamrock on the table, grabs a steel chair, goes to the ring, sets the steel chair up on the mat, runs, hits off the chair, onto the rope, launched himself off the rope, and crashes through an empty table.
Eventually, Bray Ladd, I thought.
Yeah. And he cuts his back open.
Oh, it was sick, man.
Gross. And this is where Shamrock gets up.
That table was terrible. That would never happen in WWE. They have much better tables than that.
Oh, yeah. So, look, ask Hardcore Holly that question.
I guess.
That was an ECW table, though.
Yeah.
So Ken Shamrock tosses the ladder in the ring. He starts climbing for the belt. Like, he legitimately was up there. He had his hands on the belt.
Why couldn't he get the freaking belt off? Like, what's stopping
I
him from
don't
getting
know.
The belt down?
Okay, the stupidest part about all this, the lights go out.
Why?
But then they turn back on.
It's not Bray Wyatt. Like, what the hell?
I'm pretty sure Malice was late on his, which is a
yes.
theme on this show of being late.
That's why he's sitting there, like, jiggling with the belt. Like, are you going to hurry up and get up here?
When the lights turn on, it's just still Shamrock standing there wiggling. Like, he's just kind of, like, wiggling. He's holding on to the end of the belt and just shaking it.
I'm yeah, like, that was what terrible the timing, man. It was ridiculous.
And then, like, maybe 4 or 5 seconds later, after the lights come on, in comes Malice. So Malice climbs the ladder, then decides to jump down. Like, he gets up the ladder. Like, I think he hits Shamrock. Jumps down, grabs Shamrock by the throat, and then chokeslams him.
Yeah.
I'm like, why did you climb the ladder in the first place?
Why didn't you chokeslam him up there? It would at least look legitimate.
Yeah, and so then Malice climbs the ladder, takes the title down, he goes to leave, and the show ends.
Like, why is he? I thought it was Jarrett who wanted the belt. Like, what the hell?
And the refs even say, Jeff Jarrett was saying he would have possession of the belt by the end of the night. But Malice has it.
Like, are they in league with them? Like, the Disciples?
I don't think so.
Is it, he's trying to get in between them by taking the belt for himself? It's so confusing. It's just like, what the it's what?
Well,
and
also remember, the week before, they were supposed to fight Jarrett.
I know.
Malice was supposed to fight Jarrett in the ladder match.
We need to have what to the week, and that's it in this week.
Oh, my God. Like, this is the, I'm sorry, the match before this was not, at least it was short.
Yeah.
And it was some decent wrestling in it.
This was long and pointless.
The main event was my worst match of the night.
Except for the table spot where he bounced, you know, off the chair, springboard, and into the table. Nothing was even worth watching.
No, I just like to watch it because he crash and burn. And after seeing the whatever Scott Sterling stuff, it makes me like his shots to the face more. But that's it.
Yeah, it was
like this match was garbage.
Unnecessarily complicated and confusing. The match, the ending, the show, really.
Ken Shamrock as champion has been very unimpressive to me.
Like, he's got no ability, no real serious mic skills. He doesn't put on long, good matches. It's like he's just there.
He doesn't wear his championship to the ring.
No, he's a trophy champion, nothing more. He's worse than Brock Lesnar in some ways.
He's just a name to put the title on to help get the company over it.
Yeah, like, hey, Ken Shamrock's champion. You gotta go check these guys out. That's it.
Yeah, I absolutely hated this match. This overall show was not one of their better shows.
No, that's for sure.
And, like, I know there's great shows to come.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure there's a really epic... I think it's next week episode has some crazy epic stuff. I think Mike shared this clip. Was it about a month ago? Month or two ago? Of Puppet with a Gun.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one.
I think that's next week.
I hope so. I'll have to check it out. And Ricky Steamboat.
The end of July, so... All I know is, ladies and gentlemen, Puppet with a Gun is coming up soon. You're going to want to see that.
You know, I will say one thing about this show that did give it something, though. At least it had a bit more story and a little less cheap sex humor. I was saying it's nice to have a little more he said, she said, and a little less that's what she said, that's what he said.
Yeah, there was no Francine on this show getting her boob grabbed. There was no Jasmine Slate Clair trying to strip. Like,
better, a little better.
I'm happy.
No, blah, 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 blah. You got some pretty lips. I don't mean those lips.
Maybe me of 2002 would have been like, where's tits and ass?
Yeah.
But me of now, I'm glad it's not on there. But
I like at least some
I want story. Better wrestling. We got two good matches on this entire show.
Yeah, better wrestling, better stories. This show didn't. Had some stories, some wrestling.
I'm sorry, three. I'll say there was three good matches on this show. The low-key Amazing
Red.
Yeah,
right.
Hot Shots versus the MW and the NWA Tag Team title match.
Yeah, the three
were three good matches.
Yeah, that's it.
The rest? And the main event? You want to know what I think of main event?
Yeah,
garbage.
Yeah, like, what even? That they were right thinking. What were we thinking, man? We should never have announced that main event. Let's cut it out.
They were trying to get out of it. Simple as that.
And they wanted to get it for ticket sales, but as soon as the show started, they just wanted. Now we got to get rid of this match, like, completely.
Sabu and it just if somebody put it on a marquee, Sabu versus Ken Shamrock. That might stop me from buying a ticket.
Yeah, you never know. Eh? It depends on what you think of Sabu, but.
I'm not a Sabu fan to begin with.
Yeah.
And just knowing Ken Shamrock's style, I know that wouldn't be a very well-meshed match.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So that would turn me off from buying a ticket. So.
But yeah, for me, the match of the night was definitely the first match. But
easy.
Can I rant for a minute?
Sure, go ahead.
My downs for this entire show, and kind of for the direction too, is one, such an inconsistent roster. They could use more roster members that are there almost every week. Besides Shamrock, Jarrett, Lynn, Styles, the Dupps, the Flying Elvises, the Truth, Loki, and Lawler, you see different people on many weeks. No time to understand relationships or get to know how they, you know, how they feel about each other, you know, how they interact. Sure.
And people like Elix, who's only been on a couple episodes.
Is amazing.
Like, and Monty, who's only been on a couple episodes. Yeah.
I know, and why did Jeff Jarrett, the Truth, and Lawler start working together? You know, they don't have enough backstory. Just because they happen to be heels? I mean, you need more backstory for alliances and relationships.
I think it's based on, like, what is it, 3 weeks ago? Or 2-3 weeks ago when they beat down Scott Hall at the end?
Yeah, I guess it's all, like, but you have to draw your own. There's no attempt to build that connection, you know?
It's just Lawler turning on Hall to join them.
I know.
But really, they were never established as a team.
No, they need more relationships. I mean, why should we care about these people? Why, when they team up, why should we care who wins most of the matches? There's no real development to that anyways. And then, of course,
it's true.
These two Figueroas all of a sudden this week, the Amazing Red and Apollo. I mean, yeah, the Amazing Red's going to stick around. Thank goodness. Apollo,
bye-bye. So does Apollo.
Apollo, no. He's terrible.
Oh, yeah, you're gonna see some more Apollo.
And then why Monty Brown after 2 weeks? Where was he the last couple weeks? Why the Hot Shots after 3 weeks? Who's Diamonds and Johnny Swinger? I mean, I haven't seen them in weeks either. Why so little Disciples of the
Simon
Church?
Diamond will be a staple of this company. Because he ends up being one of the agents in the back, and he does a bunch of wrestling for the first couple of years.
Oh, that's good. And then and no Disciples of the New Church, except for that little thing at the end with
Mallet. No James Mitchell, which is, I'm like, okay. Yeah.
No Puppet? I mean, everything on the roster seems too random to me. I like.
We want Puppet.
Yes, exactly. We want to see the little midget beating his midget in the trash can.
Simple as that.
Anyway, and then Brian Lawler talks a good talk, but he can hardly walk it, loses every week. Jeff Jarrett's storyline is getting out of hand and old fast. I mean, it's I just don't get it. I mean, I'm not comfortable with the promotion is going at the moment. They need more regulars. They need to develop more relationships. We can believe them when they perform together and care about them and who wins and loses. There's just really no babyface heroes. And hopefully Monty Brown can become that character because they need a babyface hero of some sort to care about.
You're going to see what happens with Monty Brown.
And that's the bottom line, because the jobber said so.
Yeah. Well, Daniel, thank you so much, as always, for joining me here on Total Nonstop Anarchy.
Oh, it's always fun, man.
And as we know, in 2002, they were chanting for this podcast.
Yeah. Anarchy.
Before we go, plug your social media, my friend.
You betcha. You can follow me on Instagram under Danimal Daniel Jobber, Daniel Jobber, capital D, capital J. You can follow me on Instagram, one of my favorite medias, under Danimal Daniel Jobber, all lowercase letters. And, of course, go to my amazing website, danimaldanieljobber.ca, where you can find the link for Backbreaker and Jobber Champion merchandise. We have shirts and hoodies for men, women, children,
babies.
We got it all, man. And of course, featuring there is my favorite, the Jobber Champion merchandise.
And my favorite, the Front Row Mafia shirt.
Darn right. you might even find a little bit of All Right and buy one from Parrish and Maniac. You never know, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And you guys are doing a podcast too, right, or something?
Buy a Front Row Mafia shirt. You can catch me on Twitter at That Canada Guy, Instagram at That Canada Dude. You can find Backbreaker Media on Twitter at Backbreaker Medi, because we're Canadian enough and we don't need the A, man. Yeah, we don't need the A.
We don't need the stinking A.
That's Mexican.
Yeah, I know.
we're Canadian, bud.
Sorry, C.
Still Mexican.
That's more Mexican, yeah. Well, is the Americans should say B, because up here we say A, and in Mexico to the south they say C, so the Americans should say B.
Yeah, you really should. You can check out everything we do, plus everything else, on Backbreaker Media, part of the Wincon Sports Network, which we are proud to be part of it now, which we are now officially on the network. We now have Conversations with Love from Spencer Love, and Over the Top Rope from Hayden and Spencer Love. And we're glad to have them as part of the network.
Yeah, you did.
And we're glad to be part of their network.
Yeah, that's exciting, man. This is great.
Yeah, man.
This company's going much better than the direction of TNA.
Yeah, oh, very much so. We're on our way up. They're just
continuing to
go down for all those years. Yeah. And don't forget to check out the VOD page for Backbreaker Media through powerslam.tv. And if you use the code Backbreaker on powerslam.tv, you will get your first, I think it's your first month free. Wow.
I think that's right.
Yeah, that's a pretty good deal. I say for free.
A little bit All Right.
You get access to RCW, Monster Pro Wrestling, CWC out of Red Deer. You get PPW out of Lethbridge, plus there's bar wrestling. There's so much other stuff from all around Canada and all around North America, and even overseas too. So please, ladies and gentlemen, check out Backbreaker Media on the Backbreaker section on powerslam.tv, and check out all the rest too.
Because what you gonna do when Backbreaker Media and Total Nonstop Anarchy run wild on you?